Hey, what's up? So before we get things started, I want to go ahead and also give you guys a couple announcements, a couple shows we've got coming up in the month of September. Let's start things off with So Many Ways MCC, first annual model car show that's happening September 15th, location Whittier Narrows Park in the city of Whittier. So that's September 15th. It's on a Sunday. Make sure you get those model cars ready because these months have been flying by. And it's coming up quick. If you're in the East Coast, make sure you mark your calendar and check out Diversified Scalers MCC. They're having their 8th annual show. This is going to be Lowrider / Eurofest theme, September 28th. And the location, or actually the address, is One Pal Drive in Wayne, New Jersey. All right, guys. Peace. Welcome back to another weekly podcast episode of Scale Riders Podcast. This is episode 79 with 65 Lokes. My guest for this episode is Ruben Padilla, all the way from Ventura, California. He's also on YouTube. Many of you guys will know him as Styrene Sleds, and on Instagram, 85 Blazing Hard. Let's go ahead and give him a call and let's get things started.
What's happening, Edgar?
Hey, Ruben, what's up? How you doing?
All right, man. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Just chilling now. How's your day?
Busy, man. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I got lucky today, though. I got off early from work.
Ah, cool.
Yup. Yeah, I got a chance to do a little bit of work on the pinstriping. And
cool.
Yeah, once I got done with that, I was like, all right, because I normally dedicate at least like an hour or two to that, and then I take a break, and then I'm just like, I'll do it again tomorrow, you know. So, but yeah, man, everything's been cool. Wanted to ask you, did you get any chance to work on any model stuff over the weekend?
Actually, I just worked on the bezel of my headlight yesterday after you gave me them sanding sticks from God Hands.
Oh, what'd you think?
So I like him. I liked him, man. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I'll try to get you some more. You know, those are gonna last you a pretty long time, but I have a feeling there's one grit I know I ran out of. It might be the 1000, but I'll try to get you that one too.
Cool, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's one that you're gonna definitely need right there. And I was looking at my pictures from, you know, just from the previous shows, like from when I met you. That was at the I still remember it was at the Model Fest in Camarillo, and I remember you brought out your bagger and it was all primered in the like development stages.
Yeah, and that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy, like seeing it from then to now, like it doesn't even seem that long, you know. It seems like time flies for sure, but it's been cool, like a journey, like seeing it, like the progress of it, and you've been bringing that out to the shows. I think that's pretty cool
that you've been doing. I appreciate it, man. And if it wasn't for you, man, like I said, I was on YouTube for a minute, but it was kind of a lot to download your video, and then you got to edit it. And so I just said, forget it. And then that's when I met you. And you were like, man, do an Instagram. So I'm like, man, I'll try that. I had no idea what it was. So I said, I'll try it.
Yeah, right on.
And then, there it went.
That's cool. Because, yeah, so when you were on YouTube, you were putting up videos for a while?
I have put up like 3 videos, so not very many.
Yeah, and because it is a process, like doing the YouTube videos, like the first ones that I started doing, they were like really quick, but then I was kind of like, nah, I should make them a little longer, or I don't know. I was just really, I didn't know what direction to kind of head, but then I started to realize like, man, this is a lot of work, like a lot of editing, like to be on the computer and setting all this up. Eventually I was telling my friend, I need to find a way to do these fast, because it's like, I know when I go on YouTube, I like watching like 2 5-minute, maybe 10 minute videos, and that's it. Sometimes I'll go longer depending, what I'm trying to see. But once I start getting them quick and putting them out, I'm like, all right, cool, done. Move on to the next, you know? But yeah, it gets a little hectic trying to do, a bunch of videos on YouTube. And with Instagram, it's a lot easier.
Definitely.
You know, and it's crazy, because like, as you notice, like each, you know, if you're on YouTube, there's a community there. If you're on Instagram, there's a community there. If you're on Facebook, that's another community there.
Oh yeah, definitely. I honestly haven't tried the Facebook one. Like I said, I just went straight to YouTube and did like 3 videos, and you know, I just, like I said, it's just too much, man.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, you work, you know, you're trying to balance, like, work, then your free time with model building, and then on top of that, it's like you're trying to do a video, you know, trying to put stuff out, and it starts to get, like, you start stacking things, and it gets really complex on there.
Always, you know, and then it's even more worse when, you know, you have... you know, your grandkids, or you got your kids themselves, and you want to go do things on the weekends, or, you know, like me, I actually, my kids are growing up and they're out of the house already. So, but you know, my weekends are, I have a Harley, so I go and ride, you know, that's my freedom right there. That's my let go.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to go take a ride and, you know, just take a ride down the coast with my friends, and that's, you know, cool. Just think of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
how long have you been doing that for? Like riding? When was like the first time you bought a bike?
Oh man, I started back in, man, I was probably like 12 years old, man. I had a mini bike.
Nice.
And then you know, and went with my mini bike. I had, my brother gave me 2 ATCs, so I went ATC riding with my friends, and you know, went from motorcycles, from a 125 to a 550 to a 750, you know, and graduated more, and you know, next thing you know, I had, you know, this is my third Harley.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's cool. Did you ever cruise up or ride over there in like Pismo Beach area?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We have, matter of fact, I just say that we have a run, you know, for we live in Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And, we call it a run. So we take off from Santa Paula and we, head out to Pismo Beach. And it's just a short turnaround trip, but you know, it's a weekend,
yeah,
a weekend deal.
That's cool. Dang. So it's mostly like people that you know from Ventura County that are heading out there cruising.
You know what, Edgar? I was born and raised in the valley, so I grew up with everybody from Pacoima, San Fernando, and. My relatives all live in Ventura, Oxnard. So when I moved out here, I ended up meeting these people through my wife, who I'm now with. And so it was cool. But, you know, I still ride with more with my friends that are from the valley.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll meet up with me out here.
Oh, that's cool. You guys just head out.
Yeah.
It must be a fun thing because I don't know. It's different, like that style of motorcycle compared to like the other, like a Ninja or a Suzuki, like other style of bikes. I've ridden bikes before, but in Mexico through my cousins, because I had a cousin.
Oh, nice.
I had a cousin who from Chicago. He would buy motorcycles and then he would bring them over to Mexico and just leave them out there. And
oh yeah.
I remember he brought the first bike I learned on. It was just like a motocross, like motorcycle for the dirt, like a dirt bike. And
yeah,
I remember that thing being so high, like just, I had to be on tippy toes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even stand straight. I had to be like at an angle, you know, like kind of one leg up. So I always had to tilt the bike to turn it on. And then once like I had it on, like, you know, I'm practically like already kind of taking off and then just kind of jumping on top of it and going. So when he showed me how to use the bike, I mean, I didn't even know how to really even drive a stick shift car or anything. So he's telling me about shifters. I'm like, what? But I ended up, it was fun, like learning how to do it with the dirt bike. But then after a while, I was just kind of like, nah, this is kind of sketchy. I'm going to fall because we had no helmets. It was just like...
Oh.
Go fast, you know?
Yeah.
and we were going fast on asphalt and then later on the dirt and over rocks. Luckily, like, I never, you know, no one of us, like, fell, but after a while, it's kind of scary. We're going at high speed, you know? Like, things start to kind of wobble. And you're like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Those bikes move.
Yeah. And then later, he brought another bike, but this was it was more of a cruiser. Made by Honda, and I just remember that bike was like wider, it was lower, and it was like automatic. You just push a button and it would turn on, you know. And I was like, dude, I love this because I don't have to be kicking down on it trying to, you know, turn it on. And
yeah,
I just remember him being like kind of like, oh, it's like the same thing or whatever, you know, just hit the shifters or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. I remember just cruising, but that was more of a cruise. Like, it was smooth. I don't know. It was a different kind of ride.
Definitely.
Using both. And then later, he a lot of his friends would ask him, let me borrow the bike, because no one really had cars or anything. Everybody was, like, on a horse to get to one spot to the next. And eventually, people just started thrashing the bike, you know, like, falling off
the bomb,
or just, I don't know, stuff like handlebars all bent, the brakes all bent, like, and he just was like, I'm not gonna repair this, you know. So and that was it.
Yeah.
That was like the end. Like, I never ridden a bike since.
Oh man, I can only say, I mean, if you have the opportunity, grab one. You know, they're fun, but you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of idiots out there that don't pay attention to people on bikes, you know, and unfortunately, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. accidents happen.
Yeah, it's dangerous, definitely. And from having that love for bikes, was it just something that inspired you to create this bagger?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I back in 2000, a real good friend of mine built a Harley, and he actually helped me with mine, and so it was considered a special construction Harley, and it was a soft tail, and you know, I rode that one for quite some time, and it was all powder coated and polished everything on me. But anyways, I got rid of it, and I had built another one. It's what they call a ground pounder. It's another soft tail, but then everyone was like, you know, hey, you know, gotta get a bagger. And I'm like, what's a bagger? You know, I don't want no old man's bike, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to be cool, you know? And I'm just like, so about 3 years later, no, probably actually more than that. Probably about 6 years later, I end up getting this with the bike as a bagger. And I put an air ride suspension on it, so it's lowered. And well, I can raise it whenever I want. But being short, not tall like you, I got to lower it, man. And it's cool like that.
Yeah.
I got music on it, so I'm cool.
That's nice. And yeah, because like, I remember when the first time I started seeing the baggers online, or just like videos and stuff of people, I just tripped out. I was like, wow, look at those bikes. Like, what are those? I didn't even know what they were called or anything, you know? And then little by little, it's just like a friend, oh, that's a bagger. And I was like, a bagger? I was like, dude, that thing looks tough. You know, it looks bad. And then over time, I just started to see how the customization, a lot of the, like the fender, the back, those back, what do you call those back panels, those back pieces that kind of look like cases, sort of?
Those are what they call the bags. That's what we call a bagger.
And I, just seeing those, how those flare out at the bottom, how they just curve out and flare down. Like, I don't know, all that stuff look crazy. And then the front wheel on some of them just getting bigger and bigger. And then the systems, the sound systems, you can see like the speakers, and it just, all, everyone has their own take on it, you know?
Yeah. And that's the whole fun of it. You know, and that's, you have so many styles, just like lowriders, you know, mm-hmm. You know, some people want spokes as in the true spoke. Some people want the true classics, the true rays, you know, some people want the craters, the rockets, the preens, Dayton's, of course, you know, and everyone has their twist, you know, and that's what makes fixing up a ride fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put your own twist on it, you put your taste to it, and you know, not everybody's not like what I have, not everyone's not like what you have, and that's okay. You know, we all have our own opinions, we all have our own taste, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Cause, I remember when I had seen your bagger, your model at the show, I was like, I've never seen a model like that. You know, I feel like that was like the first one I've ever seen. And then, later when I got to meet you and we started talking about it, you know, you started telling us how you're building this. And then you had mentioned to me about the frame and how also like Revell made some choppers, bikes. And then, I don't know, after a while, I started kind of now paying attention to that. And I started to see some of the kits at the model shows being sold. So eventually, like as time passed in the future, I was just like, whenever I would see one, like I picked up, I think, a couple of them now. And I just have them in my collection. I don't know, just maybe in the future or something, you know, if I remember like inspired, like seeing your thing, I'm like, wow, like that's crazy.
I'm glad, man. I hope so. I hope you do. Cause I know, you know, if you do build one, I know you put an awesome paint job on it, man. You got some good work.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful work. So
thank you. And yeah, it's crazy. Just seeing. So when you're doing this, how was that process of, cause you just had the frame and then like when you start making the bags and everything, cause when I look at that thing, everything looks so precise.
You know what? I'm glad I have a bagger myself. And, of course now we have our computers, our phones that we can look on and say, you know what? Cause like you had mentioned earlier, Now they have the bags with the swoop on them, so they have more of a swoop towards the back, so it kind of flares out more than my bags itself. The bags I have on my model are more like the bags on my bike. I didn't go for the extra swoop on there, which I like, and believe me, I wish I would have done it like that, but you know, that's another future build. And like we had talked about it before when we had first met, I started off with the Revell chopper one of the chopper kits. I couldn't tell you which one it was offhand, but you know, I cut the frame, I chopped the neck, stretched what they call a backbone on it, which is where the tank goes. Right where their rear wheel would meet up, so I chopped that up and heated it up, melted, bent the frame in position. And I believe you had said on one of your other posts, just like a lot of other guys that do models, we have our glue we stick our little plastic inside there so it'll melt it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started shaping things. I cut some styrene to the size that I thought would be the perfect size for it. You know, it might not be 100% to scale, but, you know, I mean, it's close enough as far as I can tell, you know, from looking at mm-hmm. my bike. And so I cut the styrene as best as possible to the style I wanted and went with it, you know, cut, glued it, molded it, add some more filler to it, shaped it more. The bags were not so hard as compared to the front fairing. The front fairing took me forever. That I cut piece by piece, triangles, squares, you know, to a diamonds, just to fit, you know, those little openings, just to get that shape. And then once I got it shaped, I put some more glue on it and let it dry up, of course, sand it, grind it. It's a process, but you mm-hmm. know, I mean, look at you with the Hudsons, you know, all your vehicles that you've done, the Cadillac, just like, you know, and everyone knows from experience when they do modifications, to a stock body, what they go through.
Yeah.
it's a process.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you're like, what did I get myself into when you started going in there, you know?
Exactly.
Yep. And then it's like, you know, you're going in and then once you feel like, all right, this is it, it's done. It's like, I'm out of the woods. You know, we made it. It's a journey. It's a trip. There's a Jimmy Flintstone makes a resin body and it's a 49 Merc Woody. And that Woody already comes chopped. So I went ahead and I saw it and I right away in my head, I was like, all right, the Woody, well, I can fill that in, you know, the wood part to make it just all solid. Cause I've never seen a 49 Merc wagon, you know, just all like solid, not like a Woody version. So, so I purchased it. And then later I had acquired the 49 Merc, the donor kit. And when I put them side by side, I mean, on the original, the roof is super high. And on the chopped one, it just looks more mean. You know, it's nice. So I was like,
oh, yeah.
I got inspired. I was like, yes, I'm going to do this. So I started applying the glue. And I had poured so many amounts of glue. Like I had laid it sideways and I poured all this glue. It almost looked like I was filling in a pool, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just sitting there and I would wait a while for it to kind of flow out. And then once it looked like, all right, cool, it flowed out, I would get my accelerator and I would spray it. And instantly the top part would like just dry. But I could tell that underneath it didn't get any, you know, still kind of like kind of thick moving around, you know, underneath.
Yeah.
So there was like some weird reactions where it was kind of poking through now, like little bumps were kind of coming out. So eventually I knew I had to grind all that down and sand it down. And it was tons of sanding. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It was like never, never ending. It was just a never ending thing. Later, once I was done and I got it to a point where I was satisfied with it, the more I stared at it, the more I stared at the Revell version one with the high roof, I was looking at the Woody part and I was going like, man, like, why did I go that route? Like, of putting tons of glue. Why didn't I just cut like rectangular square pieces of styrene, you know, and put them in there to fill in already, and then just put the glue just around the trim area, and it would have been like faster, you know? But
well yeah, definitely. But you know, I mean, you don't know till you're at that point. And but once you're past that stage, like you said, you're like, man, all right, I'm over that hump now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then once, like we have talked before, once you're over that sanding stage, and you're like, oh man, you know, I got some primer on there, now it's filled in. You're like, all right, you know, now comes the hard part for me. What color am I going to paint this? You know, what style? What am I going with, a flake? Am I going to go with a simple paint job? And you know, I'm going to be honest. You threw me for a loop when I first met you. You're like, you know, you got to throw some patterns on this thing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm not one for patterns. Mm. You know, I'm simple. Like I had spoke with you when we first met, I'm a two color person, and you're like, man, just try it, you know. So I'm like, you know what, I got you.
Yeah.
And then after this, it was, what show was it? The one over there in Glendale.
Was it the SoCal Open? Where we just recently were at, or
no, the one over there in Glendale, not Glendale, but Pasadena. Sorry, the Pasadena one.
Oh, okay.
You didn't get a mix to that one. You told me.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up running into Emilio, Mr. Patterns,
mm-hmm.
down to scale.
I think it was the Valley, like, Valley yeah. Con.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, they had it in Pasadena.
I'm bad with names. Yes, yes. So I ended up running into him, David, and I think his name was Tim, down to scales. But he's like, yeah, you know what? He goes, yeah, don't be afraid. You know, just who cares if you mess up? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's easier said than done. I mean, I've done so much modifications to this body, this, you know, fairing, this frame, this bags, this tank, you know, I'm like, man, I don't want to mess it up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then, like I said, then I talked with you again at the Camarillo, you know, you're just like, man, just, it kept this on my head. Just do it this way. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to just do it. And who cares? If I mess up, I mess up. So I shot it and got it ready for the Rancho show. That's the Valley Con, correct?
That one at the Rancho Boys Home. That was the location, and this was the SoCal Open. Yeah, this year.
So like I said, that's your podcast. You said, you know what? You know, if it's not finished, just bring it. And I said, all right. Well, I shot the lids, which are the top part of the bags, like two nights before. And I went through it, and everything looked good. You seen it at the show. I mean, it looked nice. So all I needed to do is just let it dry out and, you know, so I can color sand and buff and do what I need to do next.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, when you and George had came over, I had a reaction. Probably about a month later, I had a reaction from the paint, just on what they call the lids. So I was just like, that's weird. So, and that's what I was working with yesterday when, after you had given me those sanding sticks.
Mm-hmm.
So I sanded that down a little bit. and I'm gonna let it dry out. I gotta put it into the sun, make sure it looks nice and clean, and you know, as much as possible, so I can reshoot it again.
Yeah. No, I feel you on the part where, you know, how you were saying that I was like, throw patterns on it, and you're like, dang. Like, I had the same kind of like similar situation where I had this 65 Impala that I was doing like all radical, and he was like a young kid at the time on Instagram. This was like 2015, and I remember him, he's no longer on there. The last time I saw him on there, he was already like painting like real cars. So I think he just, he went that route and he just stayed away. Like I never see him post at all anymore, but at the time he was building model cars, and I remember like I was doing mine. So me and him would talk a lot and send each other pictures and stuff. So I remember when he saw my car all primered, he was like, what color are you going to paint it? And I was like, I don't know. And then I would turn, like, you know, in my room, just kind of look through my paints. And all I had at the time was Tamiya rattle cans. So I was like, well, these are all solid colors, you know? And I was just thinking like, well, what color should I do it, you know? And after a while, I was just kind of like telling him, I think I'm going to go yellow. I think I'm going to do a yellow, all yellow. And he's like, all right, so that's going to be your base. And then what are you going to do on top? Like, you know, what kind of patterns or what? And I mean, he was a young kid, but I feel like he kind of grew up like with lowrider. So he knew a lot about that stuff. So at the time, yeah, he had more of an idea of painting than I did. So I was like, base, like, what are you talking about? I had no idea. And he's just like, yeah, man, if you're doing a radical, you got to go crazy on the paint job, like crazy. And I was like, what do you mean by crazy? And then he started screenshotting photos of cars with patterns and everything, pinstripe, and he would send it over to me. So I would see that, and I'll be like, what? Like, nah, dude, like, I am not ready for that, you know? And,
oh, yeah.
And I told him, do you know anybody who's done that with a rattle can? And he's just like, nope, but you can be the first. I'm like, what? To be the first. And then after a while, I just kind of felt like I hit a point with that model where I said, you know what? I'm going to put it away. And if things change in the future, if I learn how to paint, then I'll paint it then, you know? But right now, it's got to be tucked away. And I do have it. It's in my, like, it's here in Simi Valley in my closet. Once in a while, I bring it out and I look at it. But at the moment, I'm just like, nah, I'll do it later. I keep pushing it back, putting it in the back burner. But eventually, one of these days, I got to bring it over to your house so you can see it.
There you go. That'd be cool.
Nah, yeah. It's a trip because I was at my parents' pad earlier. I went out there to see my dogs, walk them and everything. And I was looking through a case. And remember how I had mentioned to you about Richard Cabral? How he had sold that 64 Impala. Well, he had also sold me a Promo El Camino, a 1982. And I still remember, dude, he bought this one at the Camarillo show. I believe, well, that year that I met you, like he bought it. And I remember he had it, and I think he purchased it off of that vendor, Dave Cruz, that was there. And,
oh yeah, yeah.
And like I remember him having it, and then later in time, he was just like, when he decided to sell his models, he's like, "Do you want to buy it?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And I forgot I had this car until I started like pulling stuff out, and I was like, "Oh man!" And I just love the way the grill looks on this car. It's all squared and all mean and stuff. And
yeah,
I mean, it's nice. It's a nice promo, and I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna bring it home over here. So I have it like just chilling on my desk, and like the more I stare at the car, I think about Richard, you know? I think about like his models,
cool people.
Yeah, his paint jobs, everything, you know, like about him, really calm, really, really chill guy. And then
yeah, definitely.
I'm just thinking like, man, like I need to paint this El Camino. Like I need to paint it, and then I need to hit him up and be like, check it out, you know? I would love to see him back, but you know, hopefully in the future, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But
yeah, definitely. I hope so.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like every time I stare at that car, like right now, like I have it, it's just, I'm just like thinking about him, you know, and it's a trip, man, because I remember when like talking to him and him, me thinking like, oh, he's doing all this stuff with House of Color, you know? And it wasn't until he started asking me questions about it, about House of Color. And I was kind of like he was asking me like, what do you mix with this or what do I need? And I was like trying to wrap my brain around like, what, he's asking me, you know? And, but then later I asked him like, well, what are you using? And he's like, no, just nail polish.
And I was he tripped me out too.
I was like, no way. I was like, dude, that's crazy. Like for real? I'm like, dang. And I just kept thinking like, man, like I would have never known, you know? And and then like from the last episode, I remember talking about that with Alex, who, my last guest, and Pancho Barón had commented on one of the posts saying that him as well, he's used nail polish too for some of the paint jobs he's done, and he posted which one, and I was like, wow, like it's crazy, dude. And I don't know, just it makes me want to try it. Like I've never tried it before. But he was saying that it's with lacquer thinner would be like a 1-on-1 mix.
Yeah, I've never tried it also. I used to, when I was on YouTube, you know what started me off was, because I had told you and George when you guys were here, I had started model building probably 82. Yeah, probably in 82 I started doing models. And of course I couldn't drive, you know, so I'd go with my mom and we'd go to Kmart and all that, and you know, just like your last I think it was Alex, like you said, on your last episode, that was used to go to little stores and like Lawns and go get a model from there. Well, my art thing was Jimco and Kmart and Zoe's. I don't know if you're probably too young, but you know, that was stores back there. And I'd get my models right there and come home and sit in the garage and build, you know, and I had a nice collection. But you know, and got married and all that. Anyways, I split with my first wife and had everything in storage. Well, I lost my storage along with all my models inside there. Dang. So I had, believe me, I kicked myself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had all kinds of Cadillacs, the bombs, you know, the dualies. I had everything, you know, and I'm like, man, you know, why was I so stupid to lose my storage? You know, so whoever bought that storage came up in all kinds of models. So I stopped building models for a long time. And then back in 2007, I started doing models again. I bought my first kit, was a 1956 Nomad, which I still have up there in my garage right now that you have seen. And, it's just, it's mind blowing. I mean, where you start, where you stop, like Richard Cabral, and I hope he, like you said, I hope he comes back into it, or, you know, I haven't seen him or talked to him since, man, it's probably been at least a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, I hope he comes back to it just like I did and enjoy the hobby again.
Yeah.
You know? But,
when, I had a question. When you got back into it, you said it was 2007 or 10?
Correct.
Okay.
So yeah, 2007.
When you got back in, at that time, were you just building like by yourself, or did you know anybody else that was also building either online or someone that lived close?
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, and then I'm like, man, I'll tell my wife now. I said, you know what? I wonder what people do now, you know? So mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I looked up model cars and I seen Dr. Cranky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I go on there and like you said, he's mixing nail polish. But of course, he does a lot of house of colors also.
Yeah.
But he turned that on to that nail polish too. And I'm like, man, I've never done it myself, but I've seen some of his projects that he's done. And then, like you said, Richard Cabral, you know, he does it. I'm like, man, that's some nice stuff, you know? So, yeah. You know, and then I look at it, you know, at the stores, and I don't want to feel foolish grabbing some nail polish, so I just pass it up, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I'll just leave it alone, and I'll just do my airbrushing with whatever little paint I have, and that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, 2007, I had no one to build a model with, so I said, you know what? I'll just kick back and do it, pass my time and go from there, see where it leads me to.
Yeah. Did it kind of trip you out that like in 2007, they were still selling like model cars, that you could still find that at the stores?
You know what tripped me out was how expensive they got.
Yeah. But, the prices went up.
Yeah, man, I was just like, golly, you know, they're $26. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, you know? Yeah. So I was just like, it's crazy.
No, yeah.
You know, you go online, they're even more. You're like $50. And I'm like, God, man, what's up with these people?
No, it's so true, dude, because I remember, just kind of remember right there where Vern's at, well, that location he's at in Ventura.
Yeah.
Remember when the theater was open. And I remember going on a date to the movies and there was some girl. And but before we went into the movie, I told her like, hey, let's hit up this hobby shop. I wasn't even building models yet. You know, like I was in that break like phase where I was I haven't even done a model since high school, you know? And years had passed, so I was just like, "Hey, let's go in here, let's check this spot out before we go check out the movie." And you know that area right there, that's when all kinds of stores were still active.
Yeah, you know?
The food court, like all those little stores were filled up. The theater was packed, and we pop in there, and I remember thinking like, "Ah, she won't mind." I mean, her brother has an Impala, like. Her brothers are all into cars, you know? She's been raised, like, with family, with her dad and everybody all into cars. So she ain't going to trip or judge me, you know, because I want to look at some model cars. And we go inside, and like, I see a 65 Impala. And I'm like, whoa, I have not seen one of these since I was a kid, you know? Like, back then, I was like, what the hell? They're still making this model? And, and I remember thinking to myself, like, oh, I'm going to buy it. But I'm thinking, oh, it's probably $10-$15. And nah, dude, when I saw that tag for $25, I just, like, put it back, you know? I was like, oh, man. But I just, everything was, like, high, you know? But I didn't know that that was the standard price, you know, at the time. So I kept thinking, like, to myself, oh, I'll get it later. Eventually, as years went on, I finally said, you know what? I'm going to go get that car. So I headed out there to Ventura Hobbies, and I did pick up that 65. And then later, I picked up like a 64. And in my head, I said, you know what? I'm going to buy all the Impalas that I can find, you know? And once one of my buddies caught wind of it, that I was, you know, like buying model kits and like painting them in the yard and whatnot. because I had a roommate and his friend came over and he was just like, they just kind of gave me the heads up, like, have you checked Hobby Lobby or Michael's? They sell, I've seen model cars there. And they told, and I was like, what? And I started to go and I started to see all the cars and I was just like, oh my God, they're all here, you know?
yeah.
And then once, but I was still kind of buying them at full price the first couple purchases. And once the lady told me, oh yeah, you can use the 40% off. And I was like, what?
You were like, man.
Dude, that was over, bro.
Why didn't you tell me the first time I was here?
Yeah, I was like, oh man, like you guys messed up, you know? I'm going to be here every day. So I just kept making trips to the stores and just buying them, you know, like all the time. And then eventually I was just like, all right, enough's enough. Like I've already have like maybe 6 or 7 65 Impalas. Why do I want more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was just obsessed with that car. And just having it in my hands, I was like, all right, cool. I'm fine now. I got it. But it's a trip. I mean, think about like that year to now, you know, we're in 2019, 2007, you know, it's obviously more, it's like 12 years, like where it's at now. And I mean, things are going to still change within 5 years and then 10, you know, like, I feel like hobbies in general are just going to be on a whole nother level, like crazy across the board, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I've been starting to follow because I see a lot of Skeleton's builds with the buildings, and then like just recently with the show that Detail Junkies did with Plastic Society and everybody that brought buildings. I'm starting to kind of come across more Instagram accounts of people that just do dioramas and buildings. And
you know what? Those, they look so cool.
They do.
You know, I mean, it trips me out. Like when, you know, I would see them on Instagram and YouTube when I first, but what really caught my eye was, after I had met up with you guys, you, and then I ended up talking with Armando and Juan, and then I think it was like right after that you had said, hey man, you know, you had that show at the Peterson's. So I was like, but you know, you have he goes, then you said you know, go over there because they're going to show the Whittier Boulevard. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. So I'm like, all right. So I went over and checked it out. I'm like, man, that's, you know, it makes your models pop even more when you have the diorama right behind and or there to display.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes it look so real.
It does.
And just, you know, that's what tripped me out. I was like, wow. But, you know, I do want to build one, but then there I go, I'm taking my time, my little time as it is from my models to go into a diorama, mm-hmm. you know? So where do I stop? You know, because for a minute I got into the Hot Wheels, you know, the 164.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, I'm just like, what am I doing? You know, I don't have time for my models because I want to go ride my bike. And now I'm jumping into a 164 scale to make even less time. So I just, like, you know what? I put the brakes on. I'm like, you know what? I need to slow my roll.
You're like, yeah. I feel know? You. Yeah.
You know, so I just like, because it never ends, man.
It does not.
It never ends. You just like our models, you know, like you said, you know, we get one kit, we get another kit, we buy another kit. And you know me, I mean, I'm not a collector. I'm a builder. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like it because it's taken me forever with my bagger. But, you know, I don't buy a model just to sit there and sit on my shelf in a box. You know, eventually I want to build it. And like you said, I mean, you can only, and George, you know, we talked about it. We're like, you know, we can only build so many of them, you know, and, you know, so be it. Then that's why I broke down like you did. You know, you said, you know what, I'm only going to get 1 year of every Impala. And I do. You see my kits. You know, I pretty much have every year of the Impalas, one each. And unfortunately, I have like, somehow I got 370s. But there's a good reason for that, you know. But what other ones do I have two of? I think 65, huh? I think it was. You know, but I'm trying to get away from having so many Impalas. I just want one of each. I really do.
Yeah. It makes it more special. Like just having one.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, and honestly, I mean, I don't. How can I say it? And I, like I said, I keep mentioning you and George because, you know, you guys are the last ones that. And the only ones that came over here, you know, and I'm not, I love the Impalas. I love lowriders. I love bombs. But, you know, you guys that built lowriders, bombs, the Hudsons, like I said, you know, that's you, you know, and there's so much beautiful eye candy out there in the lowriders that I'm going to say, I can't compete with you guys. I can't. And I love them, you know, and I'm a builder for myself one day, 1 year. But as for now, I will focus on my baggers because, or at least a harder because that's me, you know, and, or a truck, you know, but like I said, there's a lot of competition in lowriders and you guys are here with it. You guys have it down. If that makes sense.
No, yeah, it's a trip because I understand what you're saying. It's like, it's almost like, you know, that's your style. This is mine. Like, I know that if I try to jump into something, it's going to be like not the same. It's almost like our heart is in certain places, you know, of, I mean, we love everything, but that energy, that going that extra mile, you know, you're definitely going to go all out on your bagger, you know, and if I'm sure you can do a lowrider too, but you probably would probably go more all out on your bagger build. You know, and vice versa. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, but like how you were saying earlier, how it doesn't end, like we keep stacking things and then all of a sudden you kind of have to pump the brakes and be like, hold on, what am I doing? You know, what's going on? I've had to do that a lot, with a lot of things that I keep like stacking of what I'm like into and what, because the more I add to my plate, the more my time fades away as to my schedule during the day. Cause I still have my day job. I only have one day off. And then I'm trying to do so many things in a day, you know? So
it's I don't believe me. I don't know how you juggle it, man. You know, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I've gotten used to it, but yeah, there's times that moments that I just want to disconnect from everything, you know. I feel like when I walk my dogs, that's kind of the time when I disconnect because I stay away from my phone. Like I have it on me, but I'm not on it. I'm just kind of looking at them running around and seeing how happy they are. And then I sit down on the grass and I'm just like, kind of just, I don't know. Like, I'm not even thinking about anything. It's just what's in front of me, you know?
Exactly.
So that's like the reset button. Like I'm playing the Nintendo and I hit the reset button and then I'm back in the game.
Yeah.
And then too, like lately I've been, how I mentioned, I've been like messing with the pinstriping. That's like a whole nother, like another discipline, right? That's a whole nother thing that I never even thought I was ever going to get into that, you know? And what trips me out is, Rudy Munoz, he lives in Oxnard. I'm pretty sure you might have met him because he was there at the Camarillo Model Fest. And
that sounds familiar.
He's also a photographer too, and he does some beautiful work. But he was actually the one who got me gave me my first like tutorial with airbrushing and everything. But what's a trip is that back then, some years back, he had given me some DVDs. Like some copies, but I remember my computer DVD player went out, so I couldn't even watch these DVDs, you know? And every so often he would ask me like, have you checked them out? And I'm like, oh, unfortunately I have not, but I still have them, you know? And I felt bad because I was just like, you know, he gave these to me back then and I haven't even seen them, you know? It's almost like if I didn't care, but I did. I just couldn't watch them, you know? And
yeah.
And then eventually, as time goes on, it's like there's certain people that get placed in front of your path, you know, in your journey that you meet. And then you go, whoa, like these dots are being connected now. Like I met him. Oh, dang, now I met him, you know. And you start meeting all these different people that start blessing you with information or with they help you. They'll give you a tool. They'll give you this. They'll give you that. And you're like, what the hell? You know, this is like tripping me out. So eventually, like I meet different people who will shed some light on something. So then I talked to one of my friends who I met up north when I went to Redwood and I took that paint class. And like, I consider him a friend because we talk all the time, you know, and we talk about painting, but we also talk about like just personal stuff or whatever. But I remember him telling me, like, have you ever seen those, like, DVDs of pinstriping and stuff? And I was like, nah, I have not, you know? And then in the back of my head, it came to me, wait a minute, my friend Rudy gave me some DVDs.
Yeah.
So I went, I pulled them out, and I started looking through them, and I'm, like, looking at the titles. I'm telling them, this is what I have. And my friend was like, what? You have all those? Dude, you should watch them. And I'm like, all right. So I take them to work. I start watching them at work. I get there early in the morning so I go watch them before we open the shop because I could only watch them through the computer, you know? Before we start using the computer to process orders, I'm like, all right, cool. We sneak one in there. I'm watching it. And before watching this video, I was making the mistake of just creating designs, trying to come up with designs, right? Trying to mirror one side to the other side. And I remember my friend from up north, the same one who told me to watch the movies, the DVDs, he told me, practice your lines. Like, don't do any designs yet. Just practice your lines. And I still didn't listen to him, you know. I obviously kept doing the designs. And randomly, I would do a line, and I'm like, ah, this is boring. You know, I want to do designs.
Yeah.
So I watched the DVD. And right away, the guy is like breaking everything down. I really love the way this guy's explaining everything. And finally, he just tells you, all right, these are going to be the 10 different type of pattern lines that you need to learn. And out of each one, you need to do it, practice, and you need to do it 1,000 times, right?
Man.
So if you're going to do straight lines, practice that until you hit 1,000. And I'm like, what? And he started to tell you why, like break it down. So as soon as he's like telling you about it's building muscle memory, discipline, I start hearing all these words. I'm like, I'm in. I'm totally in, you know? So
what a trip.
Today I started doing that. I started practicing my lines. And he even said, if you start doing patterns before you practice all these lines, what's going to happen is your symmetry is going to be off. You're going to have a fat line on one side, a thin line over here. Your muscle memory is not going to be there. Like, basically, like, you're getting off on the wrong foot, you know?
Yeah.
And it reminded me a lot about skateboarding, because skateboarding is the same. You got to learn the basics. You got to learn how to ollie, how to jump up with the board. You got to learn how to do a 180, front side and backside. And then you got to learn how to kickflip, how to flip the board. Once you learn those basic tricks and you master those, all the other tricks are combinations of the same tricks together. That's all it is. And it hit me. I'm like, dude, this is just like skateboarding. You know, it's a discipline, pretty much. So
definitely,
I've been going deep now with this, like practicing. I just got some books. I'm reading them. And at the same time, I'm looking at my model cars, and I know which projects I need to do. But then I see I got like you, Hot Wheels. And I'm like, I got to put those away, you know? I'm not touching the Hot Wheels. I'm not trying to go that route right now. You know, I know there's people that are like killing it with that. And that's not me, you know, like how you're saying, like,
yeah,
I'll let them do that. And I'll love and I'll appreciate what they're doing. But I know
exactly
right now I can't do that. The same with the buildings. I love it, but I just can't do it right now, you know?
Oh, yes.
So I feel like right now it's going to be the pinstriping and the model cars. Like, those are going to be my two things that I'm going to have to, like, juggle back and forth, you know? But, yeah, it's kind of where I'm at.
You got more. I got to cut you off from that. You got more than that to juggle. You got your podcast. You got your YouTube. You got your Instagram. You got a lot of still going.
Dang, I'm on denial. Yeah, it's man. Yeah, I gotta see. I mean, I'm taking it slow. I haven't been working on my model cars right now, like at night, where I probably should. But I feel like I make up for it for that time that I'm taking a break from it. Because by the time I step back into working on that car, I have more ideas for it.
Definitely, yeah.
And then the mindset kind of changes too. Like, maybe originally I wanted to do this, and then I saw something else or something else. Another idea comes in, and now I want to switch it up.
You know, that's a good thing, but then it's a worse thing for us. Like Vern says over there at the hobby store, because I go over there and, you know, I just talk with them, just say what's up, and I might buy some brass or go see what the latest kit is out. There you go, you know, trying to get more models, you know, but, you know, and I'm just like, and he's like, he goes, Ruben, where are you adding your model at? You know, cause he's seen me when I started doing my diesel, and, I had it all ready. It was already prepped. It was already, I already started shooting the engine, and, he's like, man, it looks good, you know? And then I shot the chassis, and that's where I messed up at. As when you had came over and you had checked, we had spoken. I said, I just don't like how it came out. So I ended up putting in some brake fluid and stripping it. So, you know, he's like, well, what's up with the bike? You know? And I'm like, you know what? I wanted to do this to it. He goes, that's fine. He goes, but you need to find an ending point and say, you know what? Enough is enough with it. Because if not, it'll never end. And I said, you know what? You're right, Vern. He goes, and that's my problem. I see something else with it that I want to do to it. So there goes something else added to it. So I'm never ending it. I'm never ending it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I can see that.
It's a forever project.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to stop it at some time and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Just leave it. And then maybe on the next one, do that.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm at that point, like you had said at the beginning of the show, the bags that swoop, you know, I do want those, but am I going to break this model down and do those to this bags? No, I'll do it on my next one. Yeah. You know, so I already stopped my mind that this project has to stop, and mm-hmm. that's it. You know,
yeah.
I was talking with legendary miniatures, who helped me with the pattern on there. You know, because I didn't want to just go with two different colors. I wanted something to break it up. So he says, you know what, do something like this. So I'm like, oh, you know, that's cool. And then after talking with him, you know, he shot me a picture of another bagger. And I'm like, man, I like those floorboards. But there I go. I started saying, man, I'm going to put those floorboards on there. There I go. I'm not stopping. I'm doing something else to it.
Yeah.
You know? So finally, after talking with you and, you know, getting little bits of advice from other people, I just said, you know what? You know, I need to stop it now. You know, end it. You know, and just do another, you know. So I'm like, all right, you know what? You're right. That's it. So I'm on the last stages of it. As soon as I fix these lids, reshoot them, got to finish up the wiring on it. And I'm hoping I can have it ready for the next show. I think it's in September, correct?
Yeah, there's, I know that, So Many Ways Model Car Club, they announced just recently, their first annual model car show that's going to be taking place September 15th. And this is going to be, the location is Whittier Narrows Park in the city of Whittier. And,
nice.
So that's coming up on the 15th. That'll be a show. I wouldn't say probably the only, current show coming up that I know of so far. I know just recently Lowballers had their model car meet, and but from that I know of, it's only those two that are most recent, you know, the one that just passed and this upcoming one.
Yeah, of course, I missed this last one too. So.
Yeah, nah, yeah.
I
couldn't go either. I had to work. And that's another thing too that sucks for me is that it's like most of the shows – they're on a Saturday, you know, because I know most people are, I mean, we have Sundays, we have like obligations with family and stuff. A lot of the times we have plans, but for me, I always have to work Saturdays. And even this last Saturday that just passed, I wasn't able to go to the Dead End show, the Custom Capital.
Yeah.
I had to work as well. And even like, let's say that weekend, if I would have had it off and everything, I still wouldn't have been able to go because we had gotten a last minute order for like a Sweet 16. But this one, we had to go out on site to set it up. But then there was some installations that we had to do outside on an arch. And my father was like on a ladder up there trying to set it up and he couldn't reach, you know? And it was one of those things like we needed to improvise because like everything was going to start in an hour. So I just told my dad like, hey, you know what? Watch, get down real quick. What about this? How about with the ladder, I'll climb up to the top and I'll be on top of the arch. And then while I'm up there sitting and down chilling, like you get on the ladder and then pass me the piece and I'll tie it up and we'll set it up. So we had to work together, you know, and it worked out.
Yeah.
And it hit me like in that moment. I said, you know what, like if like who knows what would have happened or what, because we did go ask to see if there was another ladder, if anybody that worked there, if you know, somewhere in the back they had one and they didn't have one, so that could have been kind of upsetting if we wouldn't have been able to set that up, you know.
And well, not only that, man, you know, you're, you know, I know my dad. I don't want to see him up on a ladder, you know?
Yeah, and oh, dude, I was so like sketched out about it. I was like, nah. And I was like behind him too, like thinking like, all right, if he falls back, hey, fall on me, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I'll take the definitely. Hit. I'll take the hit, you know. And I was just thinking like nah. I don't know. Like how you're saying, like I don't want to see him up there. And then I was just thinking like with work, we've always been a team. Every time we work together. Yeah. And I just know that sometimes there's going to be certain things we could just not go to, you know, because other things, other responsibilities come around.
Definitely.
You know, so unfortunately, you know, for the Saturdays, it's a little bit harder. But this show with the So Many Ways, it is on a Sunday. I can't say I'm going to be there yet because the reason being is the date. And my mom's birthday is like on the 17th, but I know most likely we're going to probably celebrate it that Sunday, you know? So I'm going to play by ear. I'm going to play by ear and see what's up. If for any reason they're like, oh no, we're going to celebrate Saturday with the family. Cool. Then I got Sunday off, you know? I'll head out there for sure. But as we get closer to the date, you know, for sure. But I know more details will come around as well from the guys as to like the timing and what's going to be going on. But it should be a fun one too.
Yeah, definitely. You're right. Yeah. I mean, like you said, because my birthday is the 19th of September. So.
Oh, nice.
Who knows? Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's close, you know. So we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I you know, it's nice to go check out the shows and support and, you know, just enjoy the fun. And, you know, I'm not as good with people like you. How do you say that? Just like at, the Pasadena show. You know, I finally got the nerve up to go and talk to the guys from Down to Scale, Emilio, but you know, there's so many other guys that were there. You know, Ryan, I had known before, See No Evils. I had known him from before at our shows right here in Camarillo. And you know, I had met him before. Anyways, and you know, I had talked with him before, so yeah. It was cool to talk with him again. But I got to get out of my shell and I, you know, need to talk to more other guys out there.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the times what makes it kind of hard is when you know who the person is already. Like, let's say you see them, you're at the show, you're hanging out, and like they're like a little distance, right? And you see them and you go, oh, that's so-and-so. It's kind of, I feel like that's kind of hard sometimes to go up to them and that icebreaker, right? Because you, it's like, you know who they are, you know who they are. A lot of times it's easier when you don't even know who the person is and you kind of, you're just like right next to them or you bump into them or you're talking about something and then all of a sudden conversations just spark. And then they're like, and then it comes up like, wait, well, what's your name? Because you got so caught up in the conversation. You go, what is your name? And they tell you, like, dude, what the hell? I follow you. Or, hey, I didn't even know that was you.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's different, there's like different scenarios. And I've had that happen too, where I go places and I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so, you know, and you want to go say what's up. But then I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say. Like, what do I say? You know?
Yep, exactly.
Like, so I'm always thinking like, all right, like if I'm there and I see their car, you know, maybe I'll like say something about their car, like, hey, like this is yours, right? And then just go from there and ask them whatever questions you might have about their car. And all of a sudden, you know, you get that conversation going. I don't know. It's always like you gotta like improvise kind of thing. But at the same time though, even though like, let's say if you're there and you don't say what's up or nothing, like you say what's up to the people, you know, but there's more people you're like, oh, I don't know. You're kind of hesitant. It's still chill. Like even if you're just there, you know, the presence of just being there little by little, like maybe by the second time around you come, they'll recognize you. And then it'll just be like, hey, what's up? I saw you at the first show, or I saw you at that previous one, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And then it goes from there. So it does take time, but eventually, like within a year or two, you'll know all these guys from the shows, you know? And a lot of them, they're very approachable. Like, they're very cool, humble, and they'll say what's up, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's just, like you said, it's just breaking that shell, you know, one of us has to break that shell.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Whether it be myself or, you know, like when I spoke with Emilio, Mr. Patterns, you know, and David Pontiac. How's it go? Pontiac 1DG?
Yeah, on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Down to Scales?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. That's like you said, you know, it's just like you either they got to break the ice or I do. So one or the other, because if not, we're just going to stand there and look at each other like, you know, I know you from somewhere, but where, you know, mm-hmm. what show,
yeah,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost like if you're like in an elevator. You know, we're all like, no, everyone's quiet. And like, you know, it's, yeah, it happens, man. But eventually, you know, little by little, or it's always cool too if you go there and someone you know, have people introduce you.
Yes.
To, you know, dude, I had a homie. Every time we went out with this guy would never introduce you to no girl that he knew. No girl. It was always like, like, he worked at a radio station, and so he would be out all the time. He was like a night owl, and this guy knew all kinds of girls in Ventura County. So we would go to, like, on Main Street in Ventura to go party and stuff. And I remember we would be, like, sitting down at the bar just chilling and having a drink, and then all of a sudden there's, like, seven girls just, like, walk up. And only, like, he would know, like, maybe a few of them, but then all of them would just linger, you know, like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And me and my friend, as soon as they're coming up, we're over here standing up, fixing our shirt, like, all right, like, you know, getting ready to, like, meet someone. Dude, and nah, dude, this fool would never introduce. Like, he would be like, oh, hi, my name's Carlos. Big old hug to all these girls. And me and my homie were just, like, standing right next to him in the background holding our drinks, like, what? Like, we're not gonna meet them? What's going on? And it was just so weird. And then we finally told him, hey, bro, you need to cut this out. Like,
yeah, you're kidding.
You need to start introducing, you know? And then he still wouldn't. And then eventually we would have to like barge in and be like, all right, hey, what's up? This dude is not introducing us.
Yeah.
So what's up? But it was just a trip. So I always think about him, my friend, whenever I'm out with friends. like if me and you would go to one of these model car shows, like I'm going to have to introduce you to everybody who I know, you know, whoever I meet. Because I would feel bad. I would feel like, oh, that's what this fool is doing to me. He would not introduce me to no one.
I don't want to be him.
Yup, I don't. I was like, dude, what are you, ashamed of us or something? Like, like what's going on, man? Yeah, it was always a trip, like with him. And
my goodness.
Yeah, it was crazy. Hey, but like, since you live in Ventura, one of the cool things that I think from your area is that you're just down the street from the hobby shop. How cool is that?
Yes. It's a good thing, and it's not, because I want to go over there and buy something every time I go over there.
Yeah.
I'm like, man.
And then he's open on Sundays too.
Yep.
So that's another one.
I used to take a ride on my bike. I actually haven't rode my bike in a while because, I don't think I told you, but I couldn't see out of my left eye for a while.
No.
So I stopped doing my models for a while. That's why what helped me up on my model too. And, so I couldn't see out of my eye for, probably about 4 months, man.
Wow.
So I had no peripheral, you know, I was closing my left eye, and I'm like, man, you know, it sucks that you take, you know, your eyesight for granted, a nose scent for granted, you know, mm-hmm. a finger, you know, but, so anyways, like I said, you know, to jump back on the story, you know, I meet up with my friends. Like I said, we'd go for a ride on Sundays. So on my way back from riding, because, you know, I got back kind of, I would say about 4 o'clock. So I'd go by Vern's, the hobby shop. And there I go. Hey, Vern, what's new here? You know, well, you know, got that new over there. I'm like, all right. Well, you know, let me see. So there I go. Let me get some more paint. Let me get some more primer. Let me get some more brass. Let me get, you know, and I don't even need it. I don't even need it. But, you know, like Juan has said one time, you know, hey, let's just support the hobby, you know, the business. I'm like, you know what? So there I go, like you said, and just I'll stop over there and talk with them, see what's going on, you know, get some glue. Like I said, and then you turn around to that, to the primer. And that's what I've been using lately.
That's cool. How do you like it?
I actually like it, man. Yeah. It's really nice stuff.
Yeah, it's very...
And I just wish it... I wish it would go further, but...
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. It's forgiving, too. Like, you keep spraying it or stacking it, and it's still like a fine surface primer.
Have you tried Mr. Surface?
That one I have not. I do have... not in a like in a rattle can, but I have it. You know how they also sell them in little bottles, so you can airbrush it. I have it in that format. I have not used it yet, though. But I do have products of Mr. Hobby.
Okay.
Because they make that one. They make that primer. I do have like a. It's called a top coat. It's basically, it's like a clear coat, but. It's flat, like a matte finish. And the reason I picked that up was because of the Gundam figures. So whenever you're doing weathering on the bodies, you can hit it with the top coat and it just seals everything up. And then you continue adding more paint on top or effects and then seal it up again with the top coat.
Oh, okay.
So... But I have not used the primer. I know that they make one in black as well. Because you know how like Tamiya makes like the like a burgundy, a pink, the gray and the white.
Yes.
So the other company, Mr. Hobby, for the surface primer, they also make one in black in rattle can. And I've seen that at the in downtown LA in Chinatown, there's a Gundam store out there. It's called Neo Happy Land. And I've seen it on their shelves there that they stock it and they sell it right there.
All right.
That's a cool little shop. It's small. You know, it's not nothing crazy. Like if somebody ever like buses a mission and goes to that store just to check it out, but they do have a lot of interesting tools too, a lot of neat tools. Most of them are for Gundam, but they will come in handy for scale modeling for cars as well. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
And
I'm gonna get the address from you.
Yeah, once in a while, like I'll pop in there. You know, I'll check it out and I'll pick up some stuff. And it just, I don't know, all these shops have something interesting. You know. It's like Vern's shop has a lot of, like, that back wall behind his counter. He has so many tools and stuff, you know, that I'm always just, like, staring at the thing and trying to figure out, like, what's what, you know? Because there's stuff I see in there that I've never seen before.
Yeah, believe me, I look at it also. It's just a trip on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the last time, a while back, I went a little crazy with the styrene there. I started buying it in all the different, like the sizes that he had. I don't know. I was just like, I need this piece, but I wasn't sure. So I got like a few different, size pieces. And then I just started going a little crazy, just like getting all the various ones, half round, the round, different size tubings.
Yeah. And it adds up.
Oh, yeah. And then you want to get the magazine, the Skull Auto. It's just, it's like never ending.
That's it.
No, yeah. But I do like that build you got going on, that Astrovan build.
I appreciate it, man. I just, like you said, just you know, and when you guys were here, you know, I put it to the side. Only reason I had showed you that one line that's supposed to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Here I go with another project. And I want to finish off my bagger and the bug.
Oh, you know, that's another one, the bug.
Yeah, you know. Dope. I have that the diesel, man, that I opened the two boxes on it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what? I finally just said, you know what? I'm not going to touch it until these ones are done.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, I got to put in my head, you know what? You got too much stuff going on. Just focus on these two things right here for now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
So we but, got,
you know, that. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, we have the Peterbilt 359, the Astrovan, the Bug, and the Bagger right now on the bench or in process.
An El Camino like you also.
Dang, another yeah. one.
All yes, right. But I like I said, I end up working on it, and I said, forget it. No, I just left it to the side. I also got a Porsche mm-hmm. that's cut open, and you know, doors already open on it. But you know what? I tend to like to do the modifications and the fabricating. More so than painting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I'm not, I don't know, maybe because I'm not past that point of seeing like your showcase that you have, your Hudson, you know, your Impala that you have, the Cadillac that you have, you know, my old builds are no longer here. Like I said, who knows where they're at?
Mm-hmm.
The only build that I have that's probably 95% done is a Dodge Magnum that I had did for a partner of mine. One of the homies that rides with me, you know. He's got a Dodge Magnum, so he's like, hey man, can you, you know, you paint one up like my bike, like my Magnum? I said, yeah. So, that one's done. So I did that in a little hot wheel for him. So
I remember when you were showing me that one. That one came out dope.
Thank you, man. Thank you. But you know, other than that, I don't have my collection like I used to have to or like you guys do. So I think that's why I tend to like the modifications, the fabrications of cutting open the doors, the tops, the, you know, that process. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, yeah. I feel the same. Like with a lot of the cars, especially the ones that I chopped, because I wasn't really like, I didn't really know too much about the custom world with cars. And then little by little, as I started seeing like the chopped roofs and all these like different modifications to the cars, I wanted to try it out. And then once you get that process going, or you learn how to open up doors, how to hinge and all that, it becomes really fun. That I remember being like, all right, I'm done with this one. Now let me chop another roof. Let me customize another one. Now let me cut up another one. Let me French the headlights. Now let me do this.
Yes.
And I'm not even thinking about the painting part. It's like all these little like phases. The other day I started kind of thinking about, okay, like what is it that I really want to do? How you were saying how it's like never ending, how things keep going. And I feel like I'm there with a lot of these cars, like they're never ending. Sometimes I feel like I'm never going to finish them ever, you know, because I keep changing them. So I started to tell myself, why don't I just grab a kit from my stash, open it up, and build it stock out of box and just go back to basics, you know, clean it, take off the flash, primer it. Don't cut no doors. Don't cut nothing. Don't even hinge anything. And just paint it with the paint that I have, whether it's House of Color, a solid color, or to me, a rattle can. And clear it, add the bare metal foil, and have it done. And even use even like the stock wheels that it comes with, or stock wheels from another model, you know, whatever. But just to kind of... like appreciate the model and also have that satisfaction that you complete that feeling of completing something. And then at the same time, what's going to happen later is that the more you stare at this model, you're going to start to think like, why didn't I open the doors? Why didn't I open this? Well, I should have done that. So it kind of triggers like more ideas for another one later, but at least you got one done, you know?
Yes.
So yeah. I've been kind of thinking about that a lot. It's like, and even with these custom cars, like from seeing photos from like the custom capital show that just happened, and there's some people that I follow that have lead sleds. I really like the way they look primered, how they look all like different colored, you know, sheet metal on them.
Oh yeah,
it's like they're not done either, you know, but I really like the way they look just cruising like that too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm with you there though. I part of me does like that process, because if I didn't, I would be finishing up a lot of cars, or I wouldn't even be doing the modifications to them. You know, but yeah, it's like little by little, just have some fun with it. I remember at the last Model Fest, you introduced me to one of your buddies. He did that diorama. His name was John Sko.
Yeah,
I remember checking out, like following him, you know, on Instagram and whatnot. But I was
just, Dragon Wagon.
Yes, I was tripping out, dude, on that diorama he did.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was like, what the heck? You told him to bring it out, right? He wasn't even gonna bring it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually met him at Vern's right there at Ventura Hobbies.
Mm-hmm. Is he from Ventura?
He's from Santa Paula.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Damn, what a trip.
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool. Yeah, I remember one time I was in there and I saw Richard Cabral in there too at Ventura Hobbies.
Uh-huh.
He was there buying a model car, but I didn't know Richard at the time. But I kind of knew, I was like, is that him? I think this is the guy, you know? But I couldn't tell because he wasn't posting pictures of himself on Instagram. But he was wearing like a Dodgers hat. And I was like, I feel like, I don't know if that was maybe his like the emoji or like the picture, you know, on his account or something. Just something about the hat that I was like, I think this is him. And I wanted to say something. But it was kind of one of those things, you know, the icebreaker. It was like this. Yes. It just was not there. So I just got what I had to get, and I took off.
I hear you. You know what? Yeah, it's pretty sad, isn't it? I met him at the Camarillo show 4 years ago, I think it was, and it was him and his son.
Mm-hmm.
That were there, and like you said, I mean, like one of us has to break the ice, you know. So I think I went up to him. I said, "Man, you know, you guys got some nice models right there." And he had his son had a Monte Carlo, and he had that 51, the four door, the 51, I don't know what they want to call it. I don't think it's called a fleet line, but that's what he had at that time. I mean, he did an awesome job. He had all four doors open, the glove box open, the trunk open. I mean, that thing was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, you know. I got pictures of it.
Yeah. Hey, send me. I want to see them.
All right. I definitely will. It was a beautiful, beautiful job, man.
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up meeting, was mm-hmm. at that show. And like you said, you know, once you've met them, or you meet the person once or twice, then you're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'll see you at the next show. I'll see you next year, you know, if we don't hook up, you know, anytime after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he was a cool dude. Or he is a cool dude. You know, I hope to see him again.
Yeah. Hey, when that day that with George, when we went up to your spot, I thought that was pretty cool. And thanks for inviting us. I like how that, even though it was a short time, but I like how it worked out. Because I knew George was coming out to California, and it was like one of those things like leading up to it where he was like, "Yeah, I want to come out visit you," you know. So
yes.
So I was like, "Yeah, for sure, come through." Like, I'll be at work, but I mean, you could even hang out here. Like, it's all good. You know, it's just family business. Like, no one trips when people visit me. And I was just like, yeah, we can go get lunch. You know, I'll take you to Ventura Hobbies. We could even hit the Hobby Lobby here in Oxnard. And by the time he arrived into Oxnard, it was the time that I was going out to my lunch. So that worked out. But I remember, like, as I was waiting for him, I was like, you know what? I'm going to hit up Ruben to see. Because I wasn't sure, you know, I kind of figured, you know what? I'm not sure if he's at work or what's going on. So I hit you up, and I also had hit up Dave McGowan. Because I know he's also out in Ventura, too.
Yes.
So I was like, let me hit him up, too, you know? And but I knew, I was like, you know what? This is like last minute and they're probably busy, and even my time's going to be short too, because I'm working, you know, but I just figured, you know, if George can meet some people, that'd be pretty cool. And it's like when we went to Ventura Hobbies, so George got to check that out. He got to meet Vern as well. And then when you were like, hey, come through, you know, to the pad, I was like, oh, dope. And I was excited because I was like, oh, I'm finally, for the first time, I'm going to see your workspace, you know? And I don't know. It was just kind of cool because I know that you guys, like, are both on YouTube, have interacted and stuff. So I thought it was just cool. You know, it's almost like bridging that relationship now, like now meeting in person, you know?
Definitely.
But also at the same time, I knew it was going to be one of those like unique moments where, you know, you don't know when that could ever happen again, you know, not saying that it'll never happen, but everything's all about timing, you know? So
always,
I was really happy that we were able to link up and talk about, you know, model cars and kind of the things that we go through with the model cars, with collecting, building, and, you know, all these things. It was very relatable, you know? And I don't know. I just thought I thought it was nice, like, especially part of George's journey, because he's flying out here, rented a car, hanging out with us, and then he was on his way to hang out with Willie, go to the Lowballer show, like, for him, all this does is create memories for him, you know? And
oh, definitely. I appreciate it.
Yeah, like for us as well, but for him probably more because that's like his journey, you know? And I wanted to see him too, like later, like link up with them, but it was tough, man. I couldn't do it because I had to work. And then like Sunday, he was going to leave early. So it was all like, you know, going back to timing, is just the timing wasn't there anymore.
So, yeah, that's the saddest part about it. You know, time always, you know, time waits for nobody, you know. And unfortunately, the time flies. So you being at work, you know, it was your work day. I actually think I had just, did I just get off work that day also?
I think so, because you said you were, yeah, you were working on some stuff and you were like, you know, that you came out. So I think, and I think you mentioned something about your in-laws, I think too. I'm not sure, but.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I think I was doing the motorhome at that time.
Yeah, there you go.
I was fixing the motorhome, the roof. And yeah, you're right. But like you said, man, I mean, I was super glad you guys came by. You know, like I said, you know, you guys, you, Juan, you know, I've always said, you know, you guys are more than welcome to stop by anytime. Just give me a holler, say, hey, I want to come through. All right, cool.
Thanks, yeah. And, I'm going to have to, you know, I would like to bring a build and, like, you know, do some work on it there, or just kind of just so we could chop it up, you know?
Definitely. You know, and, you know, George is awesome. He's cool people. Yeah. You know, just like, you know, just, well, you know what? I think everyone said it, man. It's just, you know, it's, we all have the love for, whether it be a bike, a lowrider, you know, a tuner, you know, whatever you're into skill wise, a hobby, you know, we can relate to it, you know, as long as it has to do with the glue and we're painting it, we're having fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, so we can relate to it, you know, and like I said, you know, George is into the tuners, you know, you have your Hudsons, your lowriders, you know, I got my trucks, my Harley, you know, the baggers, and it's that plastic, man, that you're in love with, you know, you can mold it, you can sand it, you can, you know, paint it whatever color you want and have fun with it. You know, that's what breaks your time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I had seen your YouTube video of you and George at the Ventura Hobbies, cool, you know. I'm sure he got a kick out of it, you know.
Yeah.
Coming from Jersey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but the saddest part about it, like you said, was the time. You know, it's a crunch. You know, and you know, unfortunately, anytime you go somewhere, you're always in a crunch. You know, time is valuable. You know, whether you have 10 minutes a day, 2 days, you know, even a week, but shoot, George had it, what, in 2 days? He was trying to juggle coming out to Ventura from LAX.
Yep, from LAX. You know? Already being in the middle of everything.
You know?
Shooting out
exactly.
Here.
Exactly. And then he had to go meet in Rancho Cucamonga. Is that where it was at?
Oh, no. Oh, he had to go towards, like, Orange County, like, past Whittier, before Anaheim. To Willie's house.
Oh,
so gee, that's a long drive. That's a long drive. And then from there, the next day, Rancho Cucamonga. So there was all these different locations. And even he said it. He's like, man, from looking at the map, I didn't know everything was so spread out. You know, all the cities, all the locations.
You know, and how long did it take him to get from LA to Ventura? Shot out traffic.
Yeah, probably close to a couple hours.
Yeah,
and then from there, like when he took off, like when we left your spot, basically he just dropped me off. Like, you know, he like said goodbye, He got to meet my family too, so he went to go say goodbye to them. And then, and then, you know, later he took off. Maybe he had to run a couple errands around there, and then he took off. And it wasn't until like he told me, I won't be there until 7 p.m. And I'm like, dang,
wow.
Because of the traffic.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, whoa, no, that's a long time.
That's a lot of driving, man. And then, however long it took from his flight trip, you know?
Yeah. Yup.
So,
because it gets tiring too, flying.
Oh, yeah. You ain't kidding. So, you can imagine how much time he had from his flight from home to the LAX to here to his other stop and then to the show the next day and, you know, get ready to head back on home Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, that's time flies, man. You before you know it, the day's gone.
Yep. Nah, it's true. What do you have any advice for model builders out there?
You know what? Just have fun with it. There's no rush. Take your time. And that's pretty much it, man. Just have fun with it. You know, don't let it stress you out. You know, I mean, if you're trying to get ready for a show, if you're not ready for it, you know, you ain't ready for it. The next one. You know, don't rush it. Just take your time, you know, and don't be like me and just finally say, you know what, you got to put an end to it and just say, you know what, this is it. And have fun.
I agree. That's cool. Man, George, so if you guys want to link up and hit George up or follow him on Instagram, it's at 85 Blazing Hard. And also, he's on YouTube, Styrene Sleds. Look him up on YouTube. And we got to link up soon, George. I mean, George. You see, I'm getting our Ruben. We got to link up. I need to bring, you know, some of the stuff I've been working on to show you.
And, yeah, definitely, man. You know where I'm at. You know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Just give me a holler and that garage door is always open, man.
Yeah, definitely. And did you get a chance? I mean, I know the sun hasn't really been out there, because I know when I'm driving to work, it's really like all gloomy and stuff. But later, let me know when you get a chance and the sun's out. Get the that paint, the House of Color Ryan Silver, the Silver Max, and then the other, and put it up. Just, I want you to see the shine on that.
Believe me, I will.
Yeah, yeah. Let me know.
that's actually gonna be my color on my van.
No, yeah, and I mean, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool one day to we can like get together and spray some stuff. You know,
definitely.
Just to get a feel for it, or maybe more like a breakdown where I can spray, just so you can see, like the layering. You know, of
Like I said, I've never shot House of Colors, so believe me, I would definitely like for you to come by and check that out.
Yeah, that'd be dope. We could do that up. Well, it was a pleasure, dude. And thank you again for being on the podcast. We'll link up soon.
No.
And just, you know, like always, we got to keep in touch.
No, I appreciate it, man. It was my pleasure. No, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And I hope you have a good night as well.
Thank you. You guys also, everybody out there, you guys have a good one.
Cool.
Catch you guys later.
Thank you. All right, Ruben.
All right,
peace.